As a child in Germany in the 1500s, Elizabeth Dirks was left at a convent. When she got to be 12 years old, she began doubting the faith that had been passed on to her from the Roman Catholic Church. She managed to get a Bible, and as she studied it, her doubts grew about what she had been taught. We're going to come back to her story in a little bit so you can hear how she responded. Here's what's in the water for us today. Not only is it World Cup fever, it is almost the 4th of July weekend when our country celebrates 250 years. Maybe you've seen the Daily News Record series. It is also now 501 years since Anabaptism began. And through these milestones, God led me to this challenging and disturbing chapter of Psalm 78 and has been teaching me about us. That some of us feel like we are drowning. That some of us fear we are wasting our lives. And some of us are knee-deep in regret and shame about our failures. Maybe none of that describes you, and every corner of your life is perfect. And the anxieties of the world cannot break you. But I believe God has something to say to us about our theme of trusting God. And we're going to start where the passage starts, where the psalmist starts. He says, "Listen up." Some of the translations say, "Incline your ear." It reminds me of how parents used to grab a child by the ear and pull them up, you know, this painful little pull on the ear. Incline your ear. Listen up. Here's the problem. The psalmist says that God's people were supposed to pass on to the next generation about God. But the ancestors messed up. They didn't tell about God. They didn't tell about God's power or God's miracles. And since they didn't tell the next generation about God, the current people of God now mistrust God, and they have nothing to pass on to the next generation. Now, for the record, this is not going to be a sermon about bashing our parents and their abilities to pass on to us. However, this is our great commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. How do we give from an empty wagon? If it hasn't been passed down to me, how can I pass it on to somebody else? This is the opposite of genetics, where if you have blue eyes or brown eyes or green eyes, that's because of something your parents automatically gave to you. This is different. Let me see if I can show you. Justin Beaker, will you come forward and help me make this point? Justin, do you know what we're doing here today?
No.
Thank you for coming forward. Hold your hands together like I'm going to give you something. Now go and share this with everyone. Why didn't you get anything?
I didn't get anything.
You didn't get it. So you couldn't get any. You couldn't give it away because I didn't give it to you. Okay, let's try it again. Do you want to receive something?
Depends what it is.
Depends what it is. If this is something good, do you want to receive it? Yes, okay. Okay, give it away.
Nothing.
Nothing. What's wrong here? Huh, let's try this again. Give that away to whoever you would like. Okay, thank you, Justin. You may be seated. The point is not just that we can't give out of an empty wagon. God is abundant. Oh, Linda would like one too, Justin. The point, according to the psalmist, is that if we want the next generation to have faith so that they can sleep at night, we have to pass on the stories of God's goodness, like Amzi and Carlos did last week when they shared their testimony. And maybe we understand the need for it, but it's not that easy. How do we pass it on if it wasn't taught to us? Elwood said recently in Sunday school, I think it was the Pennsylvania Dutch that had not been passed on to you, and so you could not pass it on. It was lost. I will tell you, I was terrible about teaching our kids about Jesus. I remember sitting at the kitchen counter trying to teach them the story of Moses and the Red Sea, holding out his staff. It was really bad. How will they pass it on if they were not adequately taught? The psalmist says this is how our trust in God forms, is one generation hands it on to the next generation. That means we are in trouble because not only did I do badly at this, some of our parents did badly at this. And I want you to think about the odds of this going well. Like you have an adult who is trying to tell about God and it comes across wrong, and maybe that's because of their mistakes and maybe that's because of our mistakes as the recipient. Maybe it's both. But think about the impossibility of a human having the capacity to share and the wisdom to share in the way that that exact particular person needs to receive it, in the timing that they need it. Take preaching, for example. I am relearning that my ability to speak to you in a way that connects to your present moment and mood and need and circumstances, my ability is minuscule. And then multiply that by every person here. Passing down God is nearly impossible for us humans. Yet, I don't seek to preach my own words. I seek to say the words that God gives me, not knowing your situation, but knowing God, trusting the Holy Spirit to provide what you need, what we need in this moment. However, my trust in God is impacted because we're growing up in a dog-eat-dog world, survival of the fittest mentality. We live in a world where people pitch a fit for being given a yellow card. And where most of what we see and hear is about a pursuit of happiness. What happens when our Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights? That declaration was made almost 250 years ago, and it's been passed down and passed down and passed down. What happens to our faith in God? Let's think about our Anabaptist faith. Think about the values that have been passed down to us of community, discipleship, service, believers' baptism. I know of a Mennonite child who grew up with parents who valued Mennonite simple living. And their parents were extremely frugal. And the child learned the value of simple living, but Jesus was absent. So the value was taught, but God was not passed down. And here's why that matters to every person here and why it's good news. Because God taught that child about God anyway. Even though it wasn't passed down, God did it. So every parent who is stressed by the long list of things that you need to teach your child this summer over break, and your child is three, you can rest, which you can't rest with a three-year-old child, but every person feeling the weight of the world on our shoulders, controlling and fixing the world is not our job. So I want to show you something that the psalmist says in chapter 77. The last verses of this chapter, this is the chapter right before ours, ours is 78. The last verses of this chapter caught my attention for you. Read this. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now let's compare that to the end of chapter 78. So this is a framework for us, a beginning and an ending. Our verses are in the middle. Read this. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. Now it is wonderful that God provided them with a shepherd to guide them. Yet, as a pastor, I know full well their inadequacy and my inadequacy as a shepherd at passing on what you need. But this passage gives us good news that makes me start celebrating. Even though we are instructed to pass God on to the next generation so that they trust God, I celebrate because instead of distress by all our failures to pass God on then and now, failures in our politics and in our religion, is God expecting our perfection? Did God give us the Spirit and say, well, it's up to you now? No, God joined in. Let me show you verse 52. This comes almost in the middle of our chapter. But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely, so they were unafraid. God was the one who actually grew their trust in God. That means the pressure's off. So let me finish sharing with you about Elizabeth Dirk. She escaped from the convent. And the short version is she became friends with Menno Simon. Some people thought that they were married. They weren't. She became one of the first female ministers within Anabaptism. Later, when she was arrested and interrogated, she refused to rat out her friends. Instead, she said, do not press me on this point. Ask me about my faith, and I will answer you gladly. They responded, we will make you so afraid that you will tell us. They threatened her. They tortured her. She cried out in agony to Christ. And God gave her relief to endure. God didn't take the circumstances away. God gave her the capacity to keep going. And so they continued to torture her. And she continued to trust God. God did it with her. It wasn't relying on a person alone was not a requirement. Elizabeth was killed in 1549, and yet her story of suffering while trusting God is passed on. So let's apply this. I invite us to think today of a challenge that bothers us. You can come back to others later, but for now, pick one. A challenge that bothers you. How might Jesus be shepherding you in that challenge that maybe you haven't noticed before? How is Jesus bringing you out like a flock? In what ways is Jesus leading you like a sheep through the wilderness, not removing the circumstances, but giving you the capacity to endure through them, guiding you safely so that you are unafraid? Sometimes when God doesn't change the circumstances, God steadies us or eases our pain, like God did for Elizabeth. God is trustworthy even when our circumstances don't change. At first I thought, maybe Jesus is leaning on his shepherd's cane right now, waiting for us to cry out to God, the one who can best help us. But really, Jesus' arms are open wide, and Jesus is seeking us out even now. Jesus is our good shepherd. The angel's words to the women at the tomb are our words also. Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene. He was crucified. He is risen. Jesus is still risen. We have a freedom available to us beyond our country. It is a freedom and a joy that comes from seeing Jesus shepherding us. I dare you to call out to Jesus, and you will be given something to pass on. Amen.